In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. And welcome to everyone this morning and to our guests who are with us today. We're dealing with a very broken and a fallen world. And we see this manifest in many different ways. We see it in global things where, you know, it's very easy to identify, you know, wars and terrible events that take place. But it's a lot harder to deal with whenever it's close to home. Whenever the strife and the turmoil of life strikes close to our hearts and in the lives of our families and the people that are closest to us. And so we can imagine the anguish that the man in the gospel story felt today. And having born a son, and we see that he is in this terrible state. He has this spirit that convulses him, that keeps him from speaking, that seems to have control over his whole life. And dare I say, the mute spirit probably also has control over the life of the whole family. When you see these kinds of situations, you know that the family's life revolves around the child that is struggling, the child that is experiencing such difficulty and turmoil. You know, sometimes these things we bring on ourselves, only in the sense that we can be stubborn, we can be uncooperative, we can be, you know, willfully that way. But in the story that we hear today, that's not the case. It's not this boy's fault that he has experienced these effects of the evil one. This is the world that we're born into. And it is a spiritual fallenness that we experience. And we must not overlook this. That the spiritual world is true. It exists. It's a spiritual battle for us. And we see Christ today in this story engaging in the spiritual battle. We see the apostles, his front line of attack, dealing with the sinfulness of the world, the demons, the effect of the demons on this child. And we see that they're getting beaten back in their efforts. They're unable to deal with this enemy who's too big for them to handle. Even though Christ had given them authority over the demons, and they had gone out in many other cases, had driven away demons and brought healing and all kinds of things. In this case, it was too much. It was beyond their capability. You know, it's sort of like when you go into a battle and you see that the other guy's got more weapons than you do. And so you retreat. And that's what the state of the group of the apostles was today. They were in retreat. They could not confront this enemy, which was too big, too strong, too much for them. And so the man is left alone. And he's shaky. He does not have great faith. In St. John Chrysostom's commentary on this, you could go through the passage in detail, but there are four different ways St. John identified that this man's faith is weak. And one way that he identifies is just simply the fact that he admits it. Help my unbelief. And so here, you know, it's almost like the demons are winning here. What are we going to do? There's an answer to that question. The Lord Jesus provides it. The answer is, bring him here to me. Bring him here to me. You see, the whole purpose of Christ coming into the world, the whole mystery of the incarnation, was precisely this. So that we could come to Jesus. So that we who are in this afflicted state could bring ourselves, if we're capable, and if we're not capable, then somebody else can bring us. But we can be brought to Jesus. So that this spiritual battle may be engaged. So that the enemy can be defeated. So that we can be set free. So that we can be healed. And all of the things that we need in this life, and most importantly, in the next. How can we come into the presence of the Lord if we're in bondage? Well, only with the Lord's invitation, because it is he who wants to do battle and wants to engage the enemy so as to defeat him. And he has superior strength, superior authority, superior tactics, and his ultimate strategy is victory, total victory and annihilation of the enemy. And that's what he does. There is no truce. There is no compromise. It's annihilation. When we celebrate the descent of Christ into Hades on Pascha, that's what it is. Hades is destroyed. That's why Christ has come, to set us free by destroying the power of the evil one. This is a foreshadowing of the resurrection of Christ that we hear in the gospel today. So much so that it's actually mimicked in the child. The child is like dead after the demon is cast out, but Christ raises him then. You see, first he is spiritually made well, and then he is raised up in the body, which is a prefigurement of what Christ would accomplish in our own resurrection, the focus of our 40 days as we prepare for Holy Pascha. So the solution then is bring him here to me. How do we do that? Well, those of you who were here a little bit earlier, you saw an interesting example of how the church does that. We have a little service when a child is born and when a mother bears a child. It's called churching. You literally bring the child to the Lord. You bring him to the temple. Why? So that he could be claimed for Christ. If you look at the prayers of the churching, the prayers are prayers twofold. One is the God's healing and help to the mother, who oftentimes has gone through great travail. Those of you who are mothers know what that's like. And so it's a prayer for healing for them. And strength, and spiritual strengthening for this new vocation now that they have as mother. In this case, for Alexandra, a mother of two, which is different than a mother of one. She needs extra strength, extra reinforcements. But what are we doing in addition to the prayers for the mother, but also prayers for the child? We are beginning this spiritual engagement. And if you look at the prayer, you see this is the nature of the prayer. The spiritual battle for the soul of this child has begun in the church with Christ. And it has happened. It's begun in part because the parents, by faith, have brought the child to Christ, to the temple. Now, the ultimate way in which this battle will be won, the final strategy of the Lord, is through holy baptism, where the child becomes a warrior of Christ and one who becomes a victor, part of the army, part of the militant ones who will fight the demons, not only in their own soul, but in the souls of others, dealing with those by faith, responding in Christ. And so that churching ritual gives us a sample of how this takes place. And many parents, I'm sure, come to the church and have questions, and they wonder and they ponder and they struggle and they need reinforcement. But the key is to bring the children to Christ. You see, there are many things, maybe some of you who are parents have discovered this, there are many things in your child's life that are too big for you to handle. You see, that's where faith has to come in. And faith is preceded by humility. It's the realization that I cannot do for this child what this child needs. Can you win the spiritual war for this child yourself? When that child is out there in the world by his or herself, that child will be afflicted. Can you fight that battle? No. You can't win. You can fight the battle. You can't win it. Not on your own. Only Christ is the victor in the spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare of the world, in the world. And so we bring the child physically to Christ. We bring the child to church. We church them not only through a ritual of churching, but through holy baptism, and then the rechurching over and over again. We keep bringing the child to Christ, bringing them to Sunday liturgy, bringing them here instead of going to soccer, because this is what they need. this is what will give them spiritual strength, so that when they are ridiculed by their soccer playmates, they won't be destroyed. They won't be crushed with anger or depression or despair. When they are tempted by the evil one, when they get older, when they're teenagers, to go astray, they will be firm. We bring them to Christ then and do this. Now, we do this in a physical way. When you're a parent, that's what you do. Those of you who are parents whose children have left, you can't bring your children to church anymore because they're not children. Well, actually, in a sense, you kind of can. You bring them to church no longer necessarily physically, but you can bring them spiritually to the church. And in some cases, this is the greater need even than when they were infants. You know, children that have gone astray, children that are out there struggling, they're going through terrible things in their lives. They need you more than ever. They need you to have faith. They need you to bring them to Christ in the Spirit. How do you do that? You come. You write their name down on the intercessory prayer list that we offer before the liturgy. You come to church at other times. You come and you light a candle and you say a prayer. You pause. You say, Lord, illumine my son, my daughter, so that they receive your light, so that the light casts out the darkness that's trying to invade their souls. In this spiritual sense, then, we bring the child. We bring one another to the Lord. You see, that's, you know, we're all children. Part of my responsibility, brothers and sisters, to you is to bring you to Christ. Now, I can't, you know, sometimes in the Protestant churches, you know, the pastor will get out there, he'll get the big school bus, you know, and he'll literally bring people to Christ. He'll go round up, drive everybody, you know, and it's really kind of neat. I won't be doing that. I've got, we've got a big territory here, but I can and I must bring you to Christ daily, daily in prayer. And bring your situations, your problems, those which I know, those which I don't know. And sometimes it helps, you know. This is the role of the apostles and the role of the church, is to be the ones who help to gather people to Christ. Now, here's an interesting question. Where are the apostles in all of this? We know that when the man had the problem with the child, and he went first to the apostles, but they couldn't do anything. And after that, guess what? We don't hear anything about the apostles for a while. The man goes and takes it to the top. I actually kind of think he had faith. He had perseverance, and that's what faith is, perseverance. But you know the apostles, how do they handle this? Not so good. For one thing, they probably did not have enough prayer, faith themselves. And as the Lord said, these can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. So guess what? They must not have been praying enough. They must not have been fasting enough to do the spiritual work that was required of them, to be the instruments of Christ, to be the true apostolic church through which the power of God is released to bring victory to his people. They were coming up short. What's worse, the Lord Jesus says, bring him here to me. He's speaking to the Father. You see, where the apostles also messed up was that when they were failing, they should have said, I can't handle this. I'm going to take him. We need to take this one to the Master. We can't handle this. But instead, they didn't know what to do. Maybe they were afraid that the Master would rebuke them because they had no faith or they hadn't prayed. He probably did. But it would have been good for them, and it would have been their act of faith in taking the child to him. But instead, it's the man who takes the child. We don't hear anything about the apostles. And this, I think, also is instructive for us. And the question is this: what do we do when we're failing? What do we do when we're failing? What do we do when our kids just simply don't have their act together, when they're struggling, they're suffering, or they're afflicted by the evil one and they seemingly can't overcome it. Maybe they're doing drugs, or maybe they're into something in their lives, a bad situation. What do we do when it's too big for us? Well, the Apostolic Church shows us what we're supposed to do, and that is prayer and fasting. We get on our knees and we beg the Lord and we intercede, and we have to have faith, and we persevere in that prayer, and we believe that the Lord loves his people. This kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. Sustained prayer, 40 days worth maybe, lighting the candle every day. And we have other things that we do in the church. We have malebans, for example. Maleben, offered for a special intention. So what you do is you come, and if you have a problem with the child, you bring the child. If you can't bring the child, if the person is somewhere else, you come yourself. Don't just say, well, Father, please pray for such and such. I mean, that's good. That's a start. But sometimes that's not enough. And so you come and you say, Father, let us pray for this person. So we set up a time and we say the special Maleben prayers. Or perhaps you say, well, Father, can you come and visit? You know, if the child for some reason cannot, you know, visit or you know, intervene in some way. In these ways, we bring the Lord to the situation. We bring the light of Christ to cast out the darkness. And then when the light of Christ is present, then the demons must flee, because he has all authority, full authority over them. You know, we also have within Orthodoxy a beautiful tradition. It's also common in Roman Catholicism, of pilgrimage. That sometimes people will make pilgrimage for a purpose and for an intention. And so to carry with them in a prayerful way this burden, but carrying it to Christ, who is the destination of the pilgrimage. We hear the pilgrimages that were made to Jerusalem in the 4th and 5th and 6th centuries all the way on. Or today, the pilgrimages made to monasteries on the Great Feast. Or our own pilgrimage on St. Thomas Sunday that goes to our church, Memorial Church in Boundbrook. But we bring the petitions of our hearts to the Lord in this way. Because we believe that Christ will illumine and will enlighten the souls of his faithful ones. And we must be faithful. This is how our faith gets stronger. It's when we pray. When we pray, when we fast, our strength will get stronger. When we walk that way of faith. Let us not be afraid then to come and bring our needs to Christ. Because if we do this, then we will realize that the Master will make time for us. You know, sometimes that's one of the discouraging things that I experience as a priest. People have this idea that, well, Father doesn't have time. And it's true. If you'd asked me to come and make a visit yesterday, I couldn't. I'm just out of town, okay, taking care of other needs. But a time is available. You must ask. You must have faith. Bring these needs and these situations to Christ. And join the church. And that's not just the priests, but that's the whole liturgical assembly. That's all of us, our role of intercession for each other. We pray especially for the newly born servant of God, Peter, today. Brian and Alexandra's child. That the Lord will watch over and protect him and will grant him spiritual victory over the enemy. And that ultimately, see, brothers and sisters, in this, when we persevere through this fasting, then we ourselves will be dying to ourselves so that the life of Christ can come forth. And this is how Holy Pascha is manifest.